Hello, and welcome to the Casual Interrogations Holiday Party. I'm Alex, your host.
And that must make me Charlene, your other host.
And with us, as always, is our producer, mascot, in-house reindeer, Chief, enjoying his long winter's nap on the floor in his new pajamas.
And on my foot. We've spent two seasons now having conversations, well, interrogations, really, with people from all walks of life, learning their stories because we believe that everyone has a story to tell and something they can teach us.
And today, we're lucky we've gathered some of those people and a couple new voices to ask a few holiday-themed questions and have a little bit of fun. Some people are with us in person, while others have called in from their corners of the world.
Before we get started, though, let's have a toast to the season of gratitude and whatever holiday you celebrate. We are drinking a Diet Coke and a strawberry lemonade that is a little sparkling.
Nice. All right. And on that subject of gratitude, Charlene, what are you grateful for this holiday season?
So I am probably going to get a little teary saying this, but I am.
Well, it wouldn't be our podcast if you didn't
if
get
I
teary.
If I didn't get crying. I am really grateful to have my mom home right now and to have her being sort of doing what she's been told to do and saving some stamina and getting ready for Christmas. How about you, babe?
Along the same lines, we moved up here from the Bay Area a couple years ago. We bought too large a house for ourselves, and I am looking forward to the prospect of having that house full of people.
I am as well, especially after a couple of years of having sort of sketchy attendance because of, you know, global pandemic and whatnot.
Sketchy attendance, not sketchy attendants.
Oh, our attendants are always sketchy. That's just how we roll. Hey, Tembisa, what are you most grateful for this year?
What I am most grateful for this year is something that I really have to say I took for granted prior to the pandemic, and that is the ability to travel the world. It's something that I love doing. I'm a Sagittarian, so I'm all about wanderlust and the journey. And when I wanted to go to Bali, I had to wait 2 years because of the pandemic. So that's what I'm most grateful for, because this year, finally able to go to Bali, and it was a life-changing trip. And it ended up being perfectly timed because it was part of my celebration of my 50th year. So, you know, while I didn't want to have to wait as long as I did, I now will never take global travel for granted ever again.
Holly, what are you grateful for this holiday season?
My daughter, my family. I am grateful for good health. Yes, all of those things. So my family, my little, and great health. I don't think you could ask for anything more.
Awesome.
And you know, I have a giant crush on your daughter.
Me too.
She has been shown to more of our friends who have no idea who you are.
I know, it's really sad for me as an only child after I had my daughter that it was over for me with my parents and everyone else, but I've accepted it.
And Holly, while we've got you, let's do a quick this or that quiz. Candy or cookies?
Candy.
Eggnog or fruitcake?
Eggnog.
Trees, real or fake?
Oh, real.
Elf on a shelf, cool or creepy?
Both.
Oh, that's a good one. Candy cane or chocolate Santa?
Ooh, chocolate Santa. Bite his head off, but I love him.
I get it.
Okay, lights. White or multicolor?
Multicolor.
Cider or cocoa?
Cider.
Rudolph or Frosty?
Rudolph.
And your last of these quickie questions, It's a Wonderful Life or Miracle on 34th Street?
It's a Wonderful Life.
I like both, but if I had to only watch one.
Right. I love them both too, but only one, Wonderful Life. Oh, right now, it makes me tear. It's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Okay. Composure.
So our regular listeners know that we always have a cocktail when we record our episodes.
And we just so happen to have a professional bartender as one of our guests today. So, Alex, other Alex, what's your favorite holiday drink?
Well, do you want me to give you a recipe?
I'll take your favorite drink, and then if you want to give me a recipe, I'll take that too.
You know, being a bartender, it's hard for me to answer that question because I just know so many of them, you know. I could appreciate so
many. Is there
one
that you enjoy?
The one I probably enjoy the most as in the holiday would be like a eggnog or something like that. But that's just because you only have it during the holiday, so you can kind of appreciate it. And, you know, you don't get tired of it per se. But I can tell you a great drink you can make. You know, Christmas is, you know, red and green are like the colors. So the recipe I would give you would be it's an ounce and a half of Bacardi Limon, an ounce of Midori. Now it's to be probably about 2 ounces of sweet and sour, ounce of pineapple juice, and then you hit it with a dash of club soda on the top. And it'll be a very bright green drink. The other cocktail that I can give you, if you're at a party and you want to theme it, are you familiar with X-rated vodka at all?
I don't think I am. What's X-rated vodka?
Okay, it's an infused vodka. They call it a liqueur, but it's an infused liqueur, and it's vodka based, and it has a big X on it, and it's essentially pink. So if you see it, you'll see the bottle. It'll be pink. And you put a shot of that, so an ounce and a half, and then an ounce of mango vodka and an ounce of pomelo liqueur, and then a little swirl of sweet and sour and a little swirl of cranberry juice, and then you hit that with a little bit of club soda, and it'll be kind of reddish. All and, man, right. Those are great holiday drinks to serve at a party. You know, because again, they're themed. They kind of, you know, they fit the color.
I like it.
And they're both very, I don't know, I guess tropical-y, so people love them.
Yeah, they're easy to drink, easy to sip.
What I enjoy is eggnog, and this was my parents, so I inherited it. Eggnog and Kahlua.
Oh, that's a good mix. I never thought about that.
Yeah, it's really tasty, really easy to drink, and doesn't have that kick that like a brandy gives you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just great. That's a great idea.
Just smooth and easy.
Steal that one. It's really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And let's do another this or that quiz. Tina, candy or cookies?
Cookies.
Eggnog or fruitcake?
Neither.
Trees, real or fake?
Real.
Elf on a shelf, cool or creepy?
I think cool.
Candy cane or chocolate Santa?
Chocolate Santa.
Holiday lights, white or color?
Gotta go colored.
Cider or cocoa?
Cocoa.
Rudolph or Frosty?
Oh man, I don't think I can choose. Rudolph or I'm going to have to go Rudolph.
All right. It's a Wonderful Life or Miracle on 34th Street?
Oh, man. It's a Wonderful Life.
I knew you were going to pick that one.
Tina, what's your favorite holiday song?
Joy to the World.
Oh,
okay.
John, what about you? Do you have a favorite holiday song?
Holiday song. Oh, Holy Night, I think. That's one.
Okay.
And, it just has this, it builds into a crescendo towards the latter half, and I just love how it builds up.
Yeah, actually, as you're, I'm hearing it as in my head because you said it, so now I'm in my head listening to it. And yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
And actually, it's one for me that is really stirring. It can be with music, but also just an a cappella version is so incredibly moving.
It evokes emotion.
Yes. Well said.
Thank you.
Yeah. Geraldine, what's your favorite holiday song?
I have so many holiday songs that I like, but one of the ones that always kind of gets me in all the feels is City Street. What's the City Street Lights?
City Sidewalks.
Less than holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas. What's that song? Silver Bells.
I don't know, but I was just going to let you keep singing.
It's Silver Bells. How about you?
So, Little Drummer Boy, a really good version of Little Drummer Boy.
It's very specific. Perry Como is one of your favorite.
And Percy Faith that does the kind of super traditional.
Yeah, that could be right. You also, though, like the David Bowie, Bing Crosby.
I do.
It's a different thing, but you like that.
And the other one that always gets me is Tom Paxton's Tiny Angels, Christmas Angels.
Yeah, you like that one. But you've also been a huge fan of Silent Night ever since we watched that thing on PBS about how it all happened.
How it happened in multiple villages. Someone wrote the music to be played on an organ, but the organ didn't work, so they were playing it on guitar, and then it went to another village, and someone added a poem to it, and it just kept growing and growing and growing. You're right. Yeah.
It was kind of a community-written song, and you like that.
Yeah.
Demi, what about you? Do you have a great favorite Christmas song?
Ooh. I would have to say It's Christmas Time by the Pretenders.
Oh.
Because I love a good Christmas song that's been redone, and I do love my 80s. So that's my favorite. That's my favorite song.
All righty. I like that one.
Okay, Jane, this could be a dangerous question for you, but do you have a favorite Christmas or holiday song? Maybe one that you've recorded?
That changes a lot. It changes frequently, but like my ultimate, like gotta give it up to this one, like no matter what, mm-hmm. is gonna be Have Yourself an Early Christmas. Mm. Yeah. It's my like, you know, it's the Somewhere Over the Rainbow of Christmas, you know?
Oh, that's a great quote.
Yeah. I never thought of it that way.
You're 100% right though.
It kind of is, you know?
And just in case you didn't know, because she won't plug it, so I will. Jane has two Christmas albums, The Season that came out in 2005 and The Merriest came out in 2022. But it was just recently released on vinyl a month ago or so, and you can find it at janemonheitonline.com. We have a copy, and it's amazing.
And those two albums pretty much make up a significant portion of our holiday soundtrack. So let's talk about holiday traditions. Tina, what's your favorite holiday tradition?
My favorite holiday tradition is gathering with my family. That is my favorite place to be. My family and my friends.
There you go. Holly, how about you? Do you have a favorite holiday tradition?
My favorite holiday tradition would have to be, Christmas Eve. Going to Christmas Eve Mass and going to a cute little like quaint coffee shop before to get like a holiday drink, then coming home and watching A Christmas Carol, the 1930s version.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we are Christmas Carol nerds.
Aficionados.
So we've seen them all. So
okay.
My family used to, not just my family, but mm-hmm. used to do a production of Christmas Carol every starting Thanksgiving weekend and then going into December. And so
that's nice.
Actually right around the time that Geraldine and I met. And so it's just become this whole thing.
Okay.
The Muppet Christmas Carol. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, Jesus, girl.
I see it.
Oh, my God.
So it is actually, of all of the different variations that have been made, not the 30s one, but of, you know, all the strange variations, it's the closest to the book.
Really?
It's really good. So there's that one.
Okay.
And then there's a movie that came out probably 3 years ago.
Yeah, three or four.
Called The Man Who Invented Christmas.
I haven't seen that.
You definitely want to see that one. It's about Charles Dickens and his process of writing A Christmas Carol, but it sounds like that could be super boring. It's actually a really fun movie with great characters.
Okay.
So, Holly, we have a Christmas movie list. Should I just send you the whole list?
Please.
Okay.
Please. I'm going to put them all in there, and if I haven't seen them, that's my first to-do.
Absolutely.
Priority.
And this year, we're watching what we believe is our first Hallmark Christmas movie.
I have never seen a Hallmark Christmas
movie. Neither have we.
Neither have we, but I am a great big...
Why have you not watched one? Oh, sorry.
Firstly, so, this time of year for us for the last 6 years has been flipping insane. To try to deal with Kraft, to try to get all of our Christmasing in, has just been nutty. And there are movies we have to watch every year.
We're kind of purists, too. Like, last year was the first year we had watched Elf, because we didn't really want to let that in. And... So,
but our kids kind of insisted
one of them was living at home at the time, but I am just a little bit obsessed with the Rockettes.
And by a little bit, Alex means that he is super obsessed with the Rockettes and has been since he was like 2, sitting on the floor watching the Macy's Thanksgiving parade.
So this year there's a Hallmark movie about a young woman who wants to become a Rockette, and it features the Rockettes. There's no chance I'm not watching that.
So we're going to watch our first Hallmark Christmas movie. But I will tell you that on Amazon Prime, on Audible, if you do books on like the audio books.
I do.
So if you didn't know this, Christmas Carol is a book that was written in 24 chapters.
Okay, so I didn't know that.
It's meant to be read one a night starting on December 1st.
Oh, I didn't realize that. How cool is that? And it makes sense.
And you can do an audiobook of Patrick Stewart reading A Christmas Carol.
Oh, I'm signing up. Done. And
so we start that as we're falling asleep because both of us pretty much know it by heart. So we start that when we're falling asleep at night, and we just start a new chapter every night.
Oh, I love that. Y'all have just opened up Christmas for me, and I didn't think you watched Elf. That's me, Will Ferrell. So just day to day usually, but also during Christmas.
Yeah,
so.
That's me day to day.
So you have just opened up Christmas even more.
There you go. I will send you our Christmas movie list.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you very much. Can't wait. There was a Hallmark movie filmed in Memphis. Did you know that?
I did not.
It's one, I can't think of the name of it, but it's the one with Kelly Pickler. But they filmed it like 2 streets over from where I was living at the time in Midtown.
I bet you if I Google Hallmark movie filmed in Memphis, I can find it.
You sure can. Absolutely.
Jane, what's your favorite holiday tradition?
Oh, putting up the tree. Putting up the tree, definitely. For my husband and son and I, like, that is a big deal. Like, the day we put up the tree is almost more of a deal than Christmas Day.
And when do you put up your tree? Because that's always a big question to me. When does the tree go up?
Well, my birthday is November 3rd, so usually, like, the 4th. Like, we put that sucker up quick.
I am not mad at you.
We do. And, you know, living in Southern California now, like, we've had to switch to fake trees because, you know, we tried that with a real one the first winter we were here, and it was just like, oh, it's dead. Mm-hmm. And it's only Thanksgiving, you know?
So. Yeah. And we are big. Ours stays up until
12th night.
Like the 12 days of Christmas start on Christmas.
Which
they don't
people
end on
always
Christmas.
Forget.
Yeah.
And so our kid's birthday is
a long time too.
Yeah, what? Our kid's birthday is January 5th, so it doesn't go down until after their birthday.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we keep ours up that long too. But I love that. You gotta.
Demi, do you have a favorite holiday tradition for this time of year?
Let's see. Well, it's not really a tradition, but it's an object. So when Doug and I were together, we bought this snow globe that is cookie. It's called Cookies and Milk. So it's a Santa snow globe, and the snow globe is in Santa's belly. And the things that float around inside are little gingerbread cookies.
Okay, that's adorable.
And it was one of the things that he decided he wanted to keep when we separated. And I was fine with that. And, you know, then many, many, many years later, he wrote to me and he said, I know how much your mom loved this. So I'm giving it to your mom, not to you. But you need to make sure that you put it out every year and, you know, that she recognizes that this is, you know, something I'm giving to her. So that milk and cookies sits on the coffee table and is central to when we're opening gifts at my parents' house.
That's very sweet. And Dang. I like the visual of it.
And it's right? very Doug.
It is. It was, yeah. it was probably that. And then we had a snow, we had a Christmas tree topper that was Santa Claus doing a summer cartwheel uh-huh. over the tree. And my mother has that too.
That's very sweet.
Thanks.
And how about you, Kenny? Favorite holiday tradition?
So I think I told you guys this last time. Maybe I didn't, but or I've told you this in the past, or maybe I haven't, but I come from a large Catholic family. Each of my parents are one of five, and each of the siblings had somewhere between two and three kids. So we're all grown. All of the cousins are grown, but we grew up in the same neighborhood around each other. So that was my circle of friends, is my cousins. So we all love each other, know each other, and every Christmas Eve we get together. Without fail, at someone's house, or I have a cousin who owns a restaurant, so we might go there. But I mean, when we get together, the Morgan family gets together. There are 70 people there, related by blood, and you add in spouses, and they bring their parents, and it's great. I love it. That's the time that I see all my cousins again in one place, and I love it.
That's awesome.
That's pretty awesome.
I don't have anywhere near that many cousins. I have one, and I married into more, but I have one because neither of my aunts had kids. My family chose to stop the dysfunction in different ways. Two of my aunts had no children. My mom just sort of raised us feral and let us figure it out. So I have this one cousin, and he's 6 years older than me. And when he and I get together...
He's not actually your cousin. He's your second cousin.
He's not actually my cousin. He's not a blood cousin. He's my adopted cousin. And he was adopted when he was 11.
Five times removed.
Yeah, like something. Five times removed. So, but when he was adopted and he was 11 and I was five, I thought he was the hottest thing on two legs. And, you know, I was five and he was 11 and he was a big kid. And so I followed him around. That man made me, you know, he's a kid at the time, but he made me eat worms. Oh my God. But I wanted to hang with the big kids. So fast forward, and now we are both.
There's a question here about kissing under the mistletoe, and now your wormy breath can just stay over there.
Yeah. But now, as relatively functional adults, he'll call me. He calls me all the time, and he'll call me and he'll be like, I was such an ass to you when we were kids. And I'm like, yeah, but I was five and I didn't know. So I didn't grow up with resentments. And he's like, wow, good for me.
Yeah. And also good. I mean, maybe good for him, but bad for him. He could have gotten away with it without ever bringing it back up.
Yeah. Cause I probably wouldn't have remembered.
Yeah.
Going a completely different way. Mike, what's a holiday tradition you could do without?
Oh, that's a good one.
I could do without people who open presents on Christmas Eve instead of Christmas morning.
Oh.
I never understood that.
So we have a one present on Christmas. The kids were little, it was always pajamas.
Oh, I see.
So they got to open one gift on Christmas Eve, but it was pajamas to wear so that the Christmas morning photos were cute.
So here's the thing, though. Our children weren't that smart, and they never realized year to year.
It was always pajamas.
They never realized it was always going to be pajamas. They were excited every year about opening something, thinking it was going to be some wondrous thing, and it was always pajamas, and they never figured it out.
They still haven't figured it out.
I probably just ruined it for them. Right?
I don't want to take a shot, but I think the matching pajama thing is a tradition I could do without.
Oh, no. We don't get matching pajamas.
Oh, good. those people whose Christmas mornings are Instagrammable are just, it drives me crazy because if Christmas morning photos are like a snapshot of the era that you're in.
I agree 100%.
So you could see what clothes you were wearing on Christmas 1979 when I was my Empire Strikes Back toys.
Right.
In my Empire Strikes Back.
Or your Hot Wheels racetrack.
Well, my grandpa had was in a sleeveless t-shirt with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth in the background.
Right. And the little bit of a gap between the shirt and the pants, so that little strip of belly was showing.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, lest she get too indignant, we do have, she and I, and now she bought one for a friend of ours, matching llama Christmas sweaters.
Well, that's a whole different thing.
That we have to take pictures in.
No, we have to take a picture in.
That's like riding the thin line between that and matching pajamas.
So, but here's the thing. They're not all exactly the same llama sweater. That's the first piece.
That's the line we're riding.
The line we're riding. And this,
you can do that if you take the picture and never showing it to anybody. If not, you're doing it for the gram.
Yeah, it's totally blasted all over.
Oh, it's totally blasted all over social media.
Yeah. Hey, BuzzFeed, I got another one for
you.
Yeah,
right. Here's our llama sweater. But we do. It's the same sweater, and we only got hers last year.
Yeah.
He also got, this is one of our very dearest friends, he also bought her a pony. Because just before Christmas, he said, what do you want for Christmas? And she smart-assedly said, a pony. So he adopted a rescue pony for her.
Oh, wow. That's little Sebastian.
So she got, a picture of a pony whose name is Ducky.
Ducky.
Yeah.
Ducky the pony.
Yeah, Ducky the pony.
Nice. Yep.
Yeah.
Tina, what's something your family does for the holidays that you probably other people don't do?
Well, we recreate my dad's oven brown potatoes, which is a recipe that he brought from when he was a little boy, I think. And it involves much bacon grease, many hours sitting in an oven with bacon grease turning and paprika and, all the stuff that could give you bad indigestion. But inside this hardened out exterior is this great potato. It's just awesome. So that's a tradition we brought down.
How about you, babe? Do you have a favorite holiday tradition?
Well, going back to what I said earlier, I really like, looking around our house and just seeing it full of people. Thinking about the people who aren't there, who can't be with us, who have been with us before and maybe aren't around the table now, but just gathering with a lot of really good people.
You're not going to talk about your attempt every year to make me cry?
Well, that's just fun for me. Do you want to explain that, or do you just want to leave people thinking that I make you cry?
So every year, Alex either writes me a letter or gives me a gift, or writes me a letter and gives me a gift that is destined to plug at all of my hard candy shell coating and drill straight down and make me cry all the good, sloppy, happy tears.
Thank you for clarifying that. I just didn't want everyone to think that, my holiday tradition that
you walk around trying to make me cry.
Stabbing you with a pin or something.
No, that's the voodoo doll.
Okay.
That's it. Halloween. All right. So Tina's potato talk got me a little bit hungry, which is weird because I just had a really good meal. What is your favorite holiday food?
My favorite holiday food.
Do not say blood sausage.
It is not blood sausage, but I would say that blood sausage was a thing when I was growing up that my family did, and I hated it and I hated it and I hated it, and then I didn't hate it so much, and then I didn't hate it a little bit less, and I didn't hate it, and then I eventually came to like it. But no, that's not it.
And then you moved in with me and I went, no.
Yeah, you said, no, we're not doing that. I think it's our family fruitcake that used to be something that the whole family made. We would all get together and make, and then tradition was that whoever was the youngest would make it.
Or the newest.
Or the newest. Mix as it. As people, you know, as I brought a girlfriend in, they were always the newest. And so
or
they had to
six.
Get, not at one time. Had to get their arms fully into this bowl, mixing this giant thing of fruitcake. And then it became our sons bringing people in. And now you're the only one that really is involved in the making of it. Sometimes I'm chopping, but not very often.
You haven't chopped anything this year.
I have not chopped anything or mixed anything this year.
No. Well, I haven't mixed yet. So you may mix this year. But yeah, I think we're the only ones doing it this year.
I think we are the only rights making the traditional right fruitcake. And by we, again, you. What about you?
For me, so I have a couple things. My current favorite thing is I love that when we moved to this house and started hosting Thanksgiving for any group between, I don't know, 10 or 12 and 26, mm-hmm. We started doing spaghetti because that makes it a lot easier on everyone and it's tasty.
You said Thanksgiving. We don't do spaghetti for Thanksgiving.
No, I meant Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, this year's weird because Thanksgiving was weird. And so my brain, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So
it's definitely this year. It's not you.
Yeah, no, it's definitely this year. I like that I make this sauce for 3 or 4 days ahead and the house smells amazing.
Oh,
and
it smells so good. It just simmers and simmers and simmers.
And then everyone comes over on Christmas Day and there's snacks and it's just still simmering and the house smells good. And then all we really have to do is cook some pasta, make a salad, and do some garlic bread. Yep. And so it's a super easy put together dinner. I have lots of memories of family being in the kitchen and crazy right up until dinner got on the table. And I'm glad that that's not a tradition that we do. I'm glad we've created our own. But I also really love that now I go to the farmer's market in August, September, as the tomatoes are running out, and get the heirloom, super local, hyper awesome tomatoes and roast them off with some onions and garlic and basil. And that forms the base of our Christmas mm-hmm. sauce. There's something about summer and Christmas at the same sort of time. But what I missed this year is
And for those who missed a step in there, then she freezes that mixture.
Oh, yeah. No, it doesn't just sit around. For several months.
Yeah. Yeah.
But one of the things that I missed this year, and I think we're going to have at New Year's maybe, is the traditional my family's orange glop, which is a mm-hmm. 70s Jell-O Cool Whip orange sherbet salad that just sort of is this jiggly, sherbety mass of yum. And we didn't get that at Thanksgiving this year, so I think we're going to have to get that.
Well, we didn't have Thanksgiving this year. We were dealing with some family stuff, and you had COVID, and we didn't have Thanksgiving, and so we're...
No, we had Thanksgiving leftovers for Thanksgiving.
We did. We actually got just enough turkey to make turkey sandwiches, but we're going to need to do a full Thanksgiving, perhaps for New Year's.
Yeah, and I don't know if I told you this or not, but we do have a 14-pound turkey in the freezer.
Awesome. Hey, Mike. So... we're talking about holiday food. What's your favorite holiday dish?
Are we throwing Thanksgiving into the holidays?
Holidays yeah. is, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I would say green bean casserole.
Okay. You know, I've never had green bean casserole.
It might not be your thing, but it's just like ingrained.
I feel like it's one of those, traditions that I missed out on because my family just didn't do it. But my family makes this weird orange jello thing called orange glob.
Oh my God. My wife's grandma makes green stuff.
It's green jello. Now hang on.
I almost said green stuff because yeah, we love it.
Cause you call it green stuff. Yeah. We call it orange glob.
And it's got cream cheese in it and a whole bunch of good stuff in there.
Yeah. My grandma used to make one like that. But my aunt at one time, and I love my aunt, but my aunt tried to change it. She made it with like cherry and it's No, it's orange glop. You can't change the color and the flavor of the glop. That is not okay.
Yes, we have a revered, stained, half-torn index card with the green stuff recipe on it. It's preserved like the U.S. Constitution.
Yep, I get it. I get it. Gavin, what is your favorite holiday dish or leftover?
Chex Mix from Thanksgiving. Homemade Chex Mix. Grandma's Chex Mix from Thanksgiving.
All right. While we have Gavin and Ashlyn here, and Ashlyn has not been a guest before.
Yet.
Let's do their this or that quiz.
Candy or cookies, Gavin?
Candy.
Cookies.
Eggnog or fruitcake?
Eggnog.
Eggnog.
Trees, real or fake?
Real.
Real.
Elf on a Shelf, real or Elf on a Shelf, creepy? Creepy or cool?
Creepy.
Creepy.
Candy cane or chocolate Santa?
Chocolate Santa.
Candy canes.
Lights, white or color?
White.
White.
Cider or cocoa?
Cider.
Cider.
Rudolph or Frosty?
Rudolph.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
It's a Wonderful Life or Miracle on 34th Street?
Miracle on 34th Street.
Wonderful Life.
There you go. Our regular listeners might remember our guest Steve, who had a pretty significant accident and has really led his life in an inspirational way since then. Steve couldn't be here with us, so we called him a while back and recorded his questions. We wanted to share our conversation with you now.
Fairly randomly, I think, Steve, we've caught you on a day of significance.
As a matter of fact, this is what's called the Survivorversary Day for me. And that's a term that I've only recently learned this year. This marks the 40th year of my accident. And it's a pretty significant day for me. It, you know, the funny thing is that it happened November 30th. And then the very next day is like the 25 days of Christmas. So, and I'm such a Christmas junkie, and it's just a day that always affects me in kind of different ways, but I never let it get me down. I always look at, you know, the fact that, hey, I survived another year, which is an amazing thing for me, the way that I live my life sometimes. So it's, yeah, it's a very important day for me.
Well, congratulations. And I'm glad you've made it this far, because I certainly would never have met you had you not.
Oh, absolutely. So. And, you know, though our connection is digital, it feels much stronger than that for me personally, because of the stories that we shared last time we talked. And yeah. I really appreciated you opening up. And so I have to definitely consider you guys friends at this point. So.
Oh, no, seriously, if you're ever out here on the West Coast, come by for a drink, a nosh, a weekend. Like, we're open, we're easy. We have guest rooms. We have a great dog.
You can bet that will happen if I'm there, for sure.
Absolutely. Always welcome.
Awesome.
So you said you're a holiday junkie.
Yes.
We have some holiday questions for you.
I am so looking forward to answering.
All right.
So the first couple are just sort of a this or that. So you're just...
like a rapid fire.
Like a rapid fire kind of series. All right?
Sure.
Candy or cookies?
Cookies. Love to bake.
Eggnog or fruitcake?
Fruitcake, because my grandmother used to make one that was, we still talk about to this day.
Okay, Steve, you're going to need to send me your address. We make fruitcake.
Oh, do you really?
We make an excellent German recipe fruitcake that is, it's been in, the recipe's been in Alex's family for years,
yeah.
And I've sort of taken over making it. I think I'm the only one that still makes it.
I think so. We're going to have to convince someone in the next generation to pick it up.
Yeah, I think
making fruit.
Go ahead.
I was going to say it's a lost art. I mean, not many people want to put the effort into it, and it takes a lot of effort to make one come out well. So
it does. It does, and we make excellent fruitcake. So seriously, text me your address. I will send you a fruitcake.
Oh,
that's not a threat.
I am so looking forward to it. I will definitely do that. Thank you so much.
Cool. All right. Trees, real or fake?
Oh, for sure real. Love the smell.
Elf on the Shelf, creepy or cool?
It depends on the person that puts it on the shelf.
Oh, that's the first one we've gotten of that. All right. Candy cane or chocolate Santa?
I got to go with candy cane. I love the crunch and just nothing better.
Lights, white or multicolored?
Multicolored. My neighbor just finished his house and it is like so Griswold and I love it.
I love that descriptor. Cider or cocoa?
Oh, cider. Yeah.
So we've got a little cider place up the hill from us. And that their fresh cider with a little bit of Fireball.
Mm. Or Cinnamon Jack.
And it's excellent, hot or cold.
Nice, nice. My wife makes a good one. She's German as well. And so it is just fantastic.
Ooh. Rudolph or Frosty?
Rudolph, man. And he had the best animatronic movie that, you know, back in the 60s, I think it was. I love that movie. Still
we watch it every year.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, last one. It's a Wonderful Life or Miracle on 34th Street?
Oh, It's a Wonderful Life. I've lived it, and that movie, every year it comes around, I have to watch it at least a couple of times. You owe a business and loan or it's the best.
Yep.
Definitely.
We had fish named George and Clarence for a while.
Oh, really? Every time a bell rings.
An angel gets its wings.
There you go.
All right. Finish this. This is the longer questions now. Finish this sentence. Okay. It wouldn't be the holidays without...
cold weather.
Oh, you're not a Christmas on the beach guy, huh?
No, you know, I had the opportunity to travel to Palm Springs back and forth back in the day, and I was out there during one Christmas, you know, during that time frame, and palm trees and Christmas lights and warm weather, it's, you know, I'm here in Oklahoma, I got a fire burning, and it's going to hit in the 20s and 30s tonight, and that's my kind of Christmas.
I always like when it starts with Thanksgiving, and it's a real blustery... cold, if it's raining so much the better day.
Yeah,
and I like that to just carry straight through.
Yeah, I mean, and it's for me, I love the darker days, the cloudy days. It kind of puts you a little bit in a melancholy mood, but not so much that you're completely depressed, but it's just like it's like gearing down. You know what I mean? You're not like on fast mode because the sun's out and you got to go get the yard work done.
It's fireplace evenings.
It's semi hibernation.
Yes, absolutely. Blankets and movies.
And speaking of, and I know we just talked about It's a Wonderful Life, what's your favorite holiday movie?
Oh, Christmas Vacation. One of my best friends who is now since passed introduced me to that movie, and I love it. And I can recite nearly every line going through the whole thing, and I do it when my kids are in the room, and they just hate that. But I'm like... dude, I've seen this so many times. It's my favorite. And the fact that I can watch it for the umpteenth time should say something about me, good or bad.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. What are you most grateful for this holiday season?
Wow. Actually, way too much to hone it down to one thing. I mean, obviously, my kids and my... well, let me say this. My son had a car wreck the other day.
Oh,
and,
is he okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then that was the thing. I mean, that you hit up on the whole thing that I was getting ready to talk about is that it's not the car and the cost and all that. I mean, you know, that's what you have insurance for. It's that he was okay. It was, you know, he turned in front of a car that ran into him. It was his fault. It was failure to yield. It took the bumper off the truck, but he was okay. And, you know, we didn't come down hard on him. And it's just one of those things. Life's going to happen. And you just kind of have to let that water go under the bridge instead of making a big deal and making waves.
That's why they call them accidents.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, because if it was planned, why would you do it?
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this isn't one of our official questions, but what are you doing to celebrate the holidays this year?
Probably going to go up to Tulsa and spend it with my mom. She's getting up in years and, you know, it's hard for me to travel. It's very hard for her to travel. So anytime we can get together, especially for the holidays, because, you know, emotions are elevated and love and caring and just family is elevated to the point where you can't help but have a good time. And, you know, personally, I hope that it lifts her up to get her through the whole next year.
Steve, thanks so much. I'm so glad you were able to chat with us today. We're sorry you're not going to be with us for our holiday party, but we promise we'll include you.
Well, you know what? It warms my heart to know that you guys thought of me after the fact and included me, and to be here and talk holiday is, you know, it's like I don't get the water cooler talk with friends because I'm not working. I'm at home most of the time. So when I have these conversations, they're very special, especially now with you guys. It really means a lot. And just want to say happy holidays to you and everybody else that listens and all the other people that join in on the group conversation.
And for you too. Happy holidays.
Happy Thank holidays.
You. All right, Kenny, it's time for your quiz. Candy or cookies?
Cookies, without fail.
Eggnog or fruitcake?
Is there a third option?
No, but you can say neither.
Neither is an option, or both.
I'll say eggnog.
Okay.
Oh, that's me.
Uh-huh.
Trees, real or fake?
Fake.
Elf on
It's not my choice. My daughter doesn't want a real tree, so I don't get to get a real tree.
Oh, that's interesting. Why doesn't she?
I don't know. I think that she thinks that it's too much work and that we'll have to throw it away and things like that.
Yeah, I get that. It's definitely more environmentally friendly.
It does smell better,
though. Yeah, for sure.
All right, Kenny, here's my favorite one of these. Elf on a shelf, cool or creepy?
Creepy. I resisted that, and then we got one, I don't know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and thank God Lily June forgot that it exists, because for that entire, I can't come up with enough things to make him do, and I think for that one season that we had him and kind of actively tried to use him, I may have put him in five different situations. It was terrible. Creepy.
My problem with Elf on the Shelf is I can't come up with appropriate situations to put him in.
Same. I could come up with 500 things, but none of them that were safe for my then 5-year-old daughter, 4-year-old daughter. Yeah.
Candy cane?
I have a friend. So if I can go off on a tangent, I have a friend.
We're all about a tangent.
Right on. So I have a friend who does Dinovember, and I thought that she was the only one that did it. Turns out it's actually a thing. And she's got little dinosaurs. She's got two little boys, and she's got they have dinosaurs, toys, and she puts them in terrible situations. Like, one of them was getting out all the cutlery as if they were going to attack the family. Another one was they had a couple of her son's little Avenger toys taped to a wall, and they were throwing crap at them. It was pretty funny.
Oh, that's awesome.
I might be super into Dinovember next year.
Yeah, there you go. I like Dinovember.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Candy canes or chocolate Santa?
Candy canes. You can put those things in rummy drinks and things like that.
Yes, mm-hmm. You can. Lights, white or color?
Multicolored. Gaudy, tacky, multicolored.
Flashing.
Yeah, all of it.
Cider or cocoa?
Cocoa.
Really?
Yeah, I like chocolate.
I like chocolate too, but I like cider because I like it with whiskey in it.
Oh, I changed my answer.
We got a cider mill, cider place up the road. And so we go get fresh cider and then just a little bit of the fireball.
It's good
hot or cold.
He thinks it's a little bit, but I do like 3 ounces. To 8 ounces of cider.
It's almost half and half. My parents loved amaretto, still do, but growing up they had amaretto every Christmas, and now my mom makes her own amaretto to give to people.
Oh.
And that shit went in everything. They would put it in hot chocolate, they would put it in cider, but yeah. I think it goes better with cider.
My like fancy pants drink when I'm out having like at a cocktail party where I don't really want to be drink, but I need a drink. I do an amaretto sour.
Yeah, it's delicious, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's festive tasting. It's festive smelling. Amaretto is a good thing.
I agree. Rudolph or Frosty?
Frosty.
And last, It's a Wonderful Life or Miracle on 34th Street?
So I'm sappy. I really liked It's a Wonderful Life because there's lesson learned. And, you know, Miracle on 34th Street was more about belief and faith. But with Jimmy Stewart, you know, there's a real triumph of the spirit that comes in that movie. And I'm sappy when it comes to holiday movies. So I like the ones that pull your heartstrings and also kind of make people reflect on how big of a dick they've been throughout the year and what they're going to change about it.
Gavin, what is the coldest you have ever been?
The coldest I've ever been was Thanksgiving one year in Plainfield, Connecticut. It was raining and we had to sit through an entire football game for my cousin Brandon.
It wasn't raining. That was frozen rain.
It was raining ice.
It was terrible.
It was like the good ice.
Whatever it was so freaking cold. It took like half an hour of me sitting in front of a fire before I even started feeling warm.
Mm-hmm. And we sat through the entire football game and he never played.
No, he played one snap.
Did he?
On a field goal block unit.
Ashlyn, what is your favorite holiday?
Oh, it has to be Christmas.
Well, there you go. Why is it Christmas?
It just gets all the family together. That's what I love.
There you go.
Kenny, how about you? What's your favorite holiday?
Can I pick two?
Or sure. Just one? Yeah, absolutely.
So we love, love, love Halloween. I don't know if that's obvious, but...
I would Lily never have guessed.
Lily June and I love Halloween. Like this year for Halloween, I put on face paint that I tried to make look like a skull, but looked more like a panda. And I've got a grown-up onesie with a hood that's a skeleton. And I picked her up from ballet in that getup.
I like it.
So we love Halloween. We love the face paint. We love giving out candy. We love buying costumes and yard decorations. And I also love the 4th of July. I love fireworks.
So we one time were in Saranac Lake, New York.
Yep.
And we were there for 4th of July. And they had a fantastic fireworks display, but it was directly above our heads. I mean, it was like a low fireworks display. And we were in this dry field of grass up to our knees.
Why that is the place?
Oh my God, I'd be terrified.
Yeah, right?
Why they lit the fireworks there, I'm not quite sure. Like we both have this very clear memory. Of looking at each other as we're standing up to our knees in dry grass going, you know what? This entire field is full of people and we would never make it out of here.
Well, no, we were kind of on the edge, so we would have been fine, but they would have all been screwed.
But why that is the field they chose to light the fireworks off above, I don't know.
Made no sense, but they were amazing.
Yeah.
And just that.
You guys are still here, so that concussion.
Concussion you get in your chest when they're firing off that close is amazing.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of why I like it so much, because it's visually stunning, obviously. And they've gotten so technically beautiful, too. You know, when I was a kid, fireworks were just a big ball. But now, like, people can make fireworks that explode and look like Saturn or a ballerina or whatever.
Or smiley faces.
Yeah, it's amazing. A dinosaur, a UFO.
Yeah.
But it's visually a beautiful thing to see, and you feel it, too. So That's part of what I also like parades for that reason.
I love a marching band.
Yeah, when the drum line goes by, I love it.
Mm-hmm. Timbisa, what kind of traditions does your immediate family celebrate during the winter holidays?
So during the holidays, toward the end of the year and the beginning of the year, we celebrate Kwanzaa in my home. My son is 22. My daughter is 11. We've been celebrating Kwanzaa since Mecca was a small child. So that's our holiday. I mean, of course, you know, we gather for Thanksgiving, but really just to enjoy family and loved ones, because as we know, the holidays' origins are terrible. But yes, Kwanzaa is our main winter season holiday, and we love it for the creativity, for the principles of Kwanzaa, and for it really creating an opportunity for us to get together all week as opposed to just on one night.
Mm-hmm. I have enjoyed watching your Kwanzaa celebrations over the years through photos, so I always appreciate your Kwanzaa celebrations.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. And sometimes we go to Kwanzaa celebrations that are, you know, live events in the community or oriented. We'll go to, yeah, because that's, you know, Kwanzaa is really all about gathering community and, you know, uplifting, you know, people of the African diaspora who are here in the United States. So it's definitely an opportunity to gather and celebrate heritage. And sometimes I'll go to a friend's house who's doing a Kwanzaa celebration, and then we'll contribute to that event.
All right. So, Charlene, what is your favorite holiday out of the whole year? It doesn't have to be this time of year. Mm-hmm. Or what other holiday that we maybe don't celebrate do you think might be an interesting one to try on?
So I tend to think that if it seems like a good time, we celebrate it. And I tend to think that we celebrate everything we can with food and good drinks and sweets, which is how I look like this. So
that's beautiful.
There's a thank you. It's nice that my looks and your eyes are going at about the same rate. So I don't think there's any holidays that I would want to celebrate that we don't, or that I would want to celebrate differently. Weirdly, I think as much as we're in the midst of this time of year, I think one of my favorite holidays to celebrate is Easter. And for me, it's just that, you know, bulbs are popping and kids get dressed up cute, and there's chocolate and there's candy and there's good food. And because Easter in my family falls around all the holidays, around all the birthdays, including my birthday, we usually have somebody whose birthday is on Easter, but we also celebrate all the birthdays that time of year on
Easter. It's you this year. Easter is on your birthday this coming year.
Oh, I hadn't even looked. That's awesome. So I'm going to expect some really good gifts this year. I think it's Easter. Christmas to me is a great holiday, and I love it, and I love that everybody gets together and comes, but it also feels like there's more pressure with Christmas to me than there is for Easter, and I think that has to do a lot with having a candy business and the crush up to Christmas, so it feels like Christmas gets packed in now, whereas I feel like Easter doesn't. There's no pressure there.
Yeah, I get that. All right. Mike, are you ready for your quiz? Candy or cookies?
Cookies.
Eggnog or fruitcake?
Eggnog.
Trees, real or fake?
Fake.
Elf on a shelf, cool or creepy?
Creepy, but necessary.
Candy cane or chocolate Santa?
Chocolate Santa.
Lights, white or color?
Colored. And blinky.
Oh, colored and blinky.
Cider or cocoa?
Cocoa.
Rudolph or Frosty?
Oh, Rudolph, undoubtedly. And Yukon Cornelius.
Oh, yeah. And then the controversial one. It's a Wonderful Life or Miracle on 34th Street?
Oh, there's no, that's not controversial. It's a Wonderful Life.
Holly, finish this sentence. It wouldn't be the holidays without...
Oh. Cookies and milk for Santa.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? I believe in Santa. I 100% believe in Santa.
Me too. Like, Santa's real.
Thank you. Like 12 years ago when our kids were 17, mm-hmm. we went to New York the day after Thanksgiving. And I made them go to the Macy's and I made everybody wait while I waited to go meet the real Santa.
Yeah, that's where he's at.
Thank you. So I stand in line. The kids were troopers. They stood in line with me, but they had no intention of taking a picture with Santa. I took a picture with Santa. They came and got in a picture with Santa. I wasn't going to buy the pictures because I looked like a dorky five-year-old. So they ended up buying the pictures. But I'm sorry, Santa is real. So
no, Santa is real. Yeah, thank I agree. You.
I don't and believe. He comes in...
Well, sorry.
Go no, ahead. Go ahead.
I'm saying I believe Santa's real, and I also believe there are multi-Santas. Santa comes in many forms all year long.
I get it, 100%. So mm-hmm. I no longer leave milk and cookies out for Santa.
Oh.
But I do leave a note for Santa that the bar is open for him.
Well, you know, he works so hard all night, he needs a drink.
I'm thinking.
And someone else is driving, the reindeer.
It's so true. He needs to be responsible.
And Cherilyn, what about you? It wouldn't be the holidays without...
hot apple cider and cinnamon whiskey.
Around the fire pit, yum.
Some kind of spicy, molassesy kind of cookie, which I'm really the only one that likes, and so I make those. And Rocky Road, which I'm going to attempt to make this year.
Oh, but some might come from some your brother might, and sister-in-law.
Who makes the best.
The best Rocky Road comes from... Cherilyn's brother and sister-in-law.
But I'm going to attempt it this year.
Okay.
How about you?
For me, I start, you know, about the first day that it's cold enough that I cannot be in shorts, which goes beyond the last day that most people, most normal people would be in shorts. The first day after that, that I happen to find myself at the grocery store, I wander to the dairy section and begin my annual search for eggnog.
And it usually starts before Halloween.
Yeah. And so there's weeks of disappointment before that first eggnog sighting. But eggnog and Kahlua, back to what we were talking about with Alex. Uh-huh. Eggnog and Kahlua is the way to go.
And I have to say, we now have spotters. There are people who now call when they see the first eggnog and tell us where they saw it.
There's been an eggnog sighting at Albertsons.
Is Albertsons even a thing anymore?
I don't know. Where was it this year?
It was Safeway.
Yeah. It's been an eggnog sighting at Safeway. And then we hit all the Safeways.
And until the best, we find eggnog.
The best, for those who are curious, the best is Bud's eggnog. Because it's like melted ice cream. Mm-hmm. It's so thick. Mm-hmm. Bud's eggnog, Kahlua. Excellent.
And a fire pit. So, Kenny, finish this sentence. It wouldn't be the holidays without...
it wouldn't be the holidays without crappy weather in Memphis.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, we don't get snow. We get, like, we've got tornadoes rolling through right now, and...
Ooh.
It's usually, the holidays in Memphis are usually soggy. Let's put it that way.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. So what you're saying is don't visit in the middle of summer and don't visit over the winter holidays.
100%.
Got it.
All right, Cherilyn. No pressure because I've been giving presents to you for 35 years. But what's the best present you ever or never received?
I feel like you put this question in just for me because they're the same thing. So the present that I never received until I was like almost 40 was an Easy Bake Oven. I was a complete tomboy girl. You would never have given me an Easy Bake Oven on instinct. And I asked only Santa for one year. And I did not get it. And I was very, very sad about it. And I just figured I had asked the wrong Santa. And fast forward, like 25 years, and we were opening Christmas presents one Christmas morning, and there was this beat to crap present at the back of the tree. I mean, there were tire marks on this wrapping paper, and there was a beautiful vellum paper note from Santa talking about how Mrs. Claus made him clean out some old sacks from the hall closet. And in the bottom of one of them, he found this gift that was supposed to have come to me in 1977 when I was 9. And it was an Easy Bake oven. And I cried and I bawled and it was big sloppy tears and it was awesome. How about you, babe? What's the best present you ever or never received?
So, I am in my mid-50s, and I love a train. And when I was a kid, my parents, and I think probably pretty much everyone they knew, built an N-gauge model railroad for me with tracks and mountains and towns and villages. And
did it have the green carpet, the indoor outdoor grass looking?
No, this was fully landscaped out mountains with trees, and there were tunnels, and there were little
When you go to the train museum kind of layout,
like when you go to the train museum, that kind of layout. My family was in scenic theater as a job, and so it was fully done, bridges, everything, and in my mind it was massive. I've since been told that it might have been on a 4x8 base, but it seemed like it was like 16x20. It was huge.
To be fair, you were smaller.
Yes, I was smaller at the time, but at the time, I have to say I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure I knew how to appreciate that fully. And now, one, I would love to have it, but two, now I look back and I see it more as something that my family and others spent all of that time creating, because it wasn't something that, I mean, they created it from nothing.
Like a labor of love.
Yeah, and it must have been months and weeks. So I look at it with that lens now as an adult, is how much time and love and effort and group work went into that. So that will always stick out to me. Gavin, what holiday movie would you live in if you could?
Elf.
Would you be Will Ferrell?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I would.
All right. What about you?
This is a tough one for me.
Oh.
What holiday movie could I live in? So I'm going to say Miracle on 34th Street.
Okay.
Because of the clothes and the era and the petticoats and the wooden escalators.
And the heels.
And the heels, yeah. And the Santa.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to say. But I will add that there are very few holiday movies I don't think I could live in.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how happy you'd be in Christmas Carol. Because a lot of people look like they smell bad.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that Dickens era, wow, he made Christmas
kind of romantic there. And there's a whole sanitation thing going on. Right? Yeah, no, you're probably, but the modern Christmas Carol versions, like, yeah. No, there's, but I'm going to go with Miracle on 34th Street, just for the hats, the gloves, the fashion.
And I feel like I would probably agree with you. And I'm a sucker for the Macy's Parade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they had those apartments on the parade route.
I always kind of wish I looked that good in a suit. I don't. But otherwise, I could totally rock that whole
wool suit thing.
Macy's executive Christmas sort of thing. Yeah, that would be my answer,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Going a different way, Meegs, what's the first movie you watched that puts you in the holiday mood?
My holiday movies. So I don't know if it's the first, because I don't necessarily do them in an order, but certainly which one would I watch first? Probably actually the Ted Lasso Christmas episode.
Okay.
Because that, I remember when it came on, I'm like, damn, it's actually, it's good. It's a good balance. It's not too sweet. It's kind of.
I so did not want to watch Ted Lasso. And Alex got me into it, and I got sucked right in.
I had COVID, and our kid had broken the TV that used to be in our bedroom, so all I had was my iPad. So right. I decided, okay, I'm just going to watch the first two seasons while I'm stuck in bed. And I watched the whole thing, and when I was no longer locked in the bedroom by myself, I said to Cherilyn, okay, you just have to try it. Just try it and see. And it sucked her right in.
It sucked me
right in. Yeah, look, I think I came late. It was maybe midway through first season, but absolutely. So, yeah, the Ted Lasso Christmas special, and I think the other one that I always love and try not to let any holiday season go by without watching it is Hogfather, which is Terry Pratchett. And
say that name again, because we're going to need to add that to our list. I've never seen that.
Hogfather. So it's actually a miniseries. It's based on a Terry, it may be a couple of Terry, it's Terry Pratchett universe. Like, I don't know if it's one book or they combine three, but basically the Hogfather is the equivalent of Father Christmas in that universe. And he gets abducted. And so to preserve Christmas, death decides he's going to fill in, and he's not really good at it.
How is this not something we've seen?
Yeah.
I was going to say, I felt like you would go, oh yes, of course, you would love it. It is so you guys. The Tooth Fairy is in it in some weird thing. There is all kinds of stuff going on about, but yes, death and his adopted granddaughter, Susan.
sure.
Protect Christmas, and yeah, so you would love it, definitely.
Okay,
definitely.
So now we have Slings and Arrows and the Hogfather.
Yeah.
Okay,
so we have a tradition at Christmas for Christmas movies. We watch usually either Thanksgiving night after everyone goes home, or the next night, the Friday after, we watch The Muppet Christmas Carol. And during COVID, when we weren't able to see the kids, because we've always watched it, the four of us together, sort of under blankets, during COVID, we watched it on Disney TV, where we could all be together watching, streaming it together. And several years ago, Ashlyn joined in on it. And last year, all three kids were here the Friday after Thanksgiving. So we were just all piled in the living room watching it. It was awesome.
Well, and the other one that I always remember that I haven't watched in a while, but actually I should pull out again and watched, which was part of the tradition of the performing of A Christmas Carol at Mills, was the watching of Scrooge.
Of course.
And yeah, I always, Carol Kane is the fairy.
Is the best.
Oh, a party. I'm so glad I wore my cookie dress. It just always sticks in my brain. And is one of those things that I randomly quote at weird times, and people just look at me, and it's like, it is actually a quote from a movie that you've clearly never seen, given the look on your face.
Have you seen yet The Man Who Invented Christmas?
I have not.
Okay, you need to. I don't care what else you watch this year, you need to watch The Man Who Invented Christmas.
Yes.
Okay.
It's about Charles Dickens writing A Christmas Carol.
I was going to say, it's Dickens, isn't it?
And it's, it's all obviously fictionalized, but it's how all of those characters in one person or another
came to him,
materialized around him, and become part of his life. And it's a great,
It also has some movie. Really great press porn at the end.
Oh, it does, yeah.
When they're when they're letter pressing the book.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
I'm big on the press porn. No. Yeah. Yeah. Charlene, who would you have cook your holiday meal if you could?
So I'm going to go totally sentimental and say my grandmother, but my grandmother before she was 50. And I say that because somewhere between 50 and 56-ish, it all sort of went wrong with the cooking. And it culminated, I think, when she was in her early 60s with her coming to Thanksgiving, I think, with a pumpkin pie where she had used salt instead of sugar, which now, as someone who cooks, makes me wonder why she had that much salt and not want to eat from her in that era. But I remember, and it may not be true, there may have been a lot of green Jell-O salads and all sorts of things. But I remember cooking with and having my grandmother cook for me as being a huge thing. If we're going to go like fancy pants, is there a chef I would want to cook my Thanksgiving dinner? I would probably say I would love to have Tom Colicchio cook my Christmas dinner, because I feel like he does twists on classic without deconstructing them and using foam and all kinds of weird crap. But I feel like that would be a high-end, really yummy holiday dinner.
And I'm going to go the opposite way.
Oh, what are you going to go with?
There's no one that doesn't cook our holiday meals already, meaning you and me for some of the elements, that I would want to do it, because I don't want a high-end twist. I want I want the orange glop that we always have.
The six-cup salad.
They're such an incredible... I mean, it's like food just putting its arms around you and saying, you know, Happy Thanksgiving, Merry Christmas.
You're home.
You're home. That's exactly what I want. Now, would I mind if Giada came over to the house and was cooking? No. But no.
How about Nigella?
Nigella.
In her satin robe coming down. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
But now we're going in a whole different direction.
I'm just saying.
But otherwise, I want our holiday meals the way they are.
Okay.
I might have additional attendees at our meals, but I wouldn't have the food be any other way other than it is.
All righty.
What's a treasured holiday memory for you, Megan?
One of my treasured holiday memories is so when I lived in Vancouver and mom was living in Australia for part of it, so I could only go home every other Christmas. We could only afford for me to go home home to Australia every other Christmas. And one of the things in Vancouver is because a lot of people there are from other parts of Canada and a bit like California, have gone there because it's warmer and warmer. It just doesn't snow in Vancouver the way it does in other parts of it. So you get a lot of people who are from the prairies particularly. But the Rockies are impenetrable by car during winter. Like, you have to be insane to try and drive some of those passes at Christmas. And if you couldn't afford flights, and the train was always just profoundly expensive because it was really a tourist train. So you had a lot of people who were away from their families at Christmas time. And so we used to have orphans Christmases. Mm-hmm. I have really lovely memories of massive Christmas dinners at somebody's house where, you know, everyone brought a dish. Usually whoever's hosting actually took on the sort of turkeys. But then, you know, people would bring casseroles and desserts and you know, everyone would bring like a little $10 gift, $15 gift, And I think I still have a mug that I got at one of those. And it was so nice because it would be, you know, it would often be, whoever was hosting would often have like a large house or a large share house, and you'd have a fire going and you'd have the tree up and you had all of the fun and all of the food and this real sense of togetherness and no one being left out and everyone being brought in, but you also had none of the family stuff and none of the sort of, you know, family grudges that always sort of resurface at those things and, you know, politics that are 25 years old about what somebody did to somebody in Christmas, you know, two decades ago. And so, yeah, to me, they were always really about, you know, without getting completely sappy, the true meaning of Christmas, but that idea of peace on earth, goodwill toward all.
And there's a warm place and a plate for everyone.
Exactly. And you could always, you know, it was always the thing of someone saying, oh, look, my friend who none of you know, but they thought they were going to be able to go home, but they can't. Can I bring them? Yeah, sure. You know, just add another number sort of to the group and we'll, you know, maybe bring a chair because we're not sure we have any more. But yeah, it was never, we can't make, no, they can't come. It's, we'll figure out a way to make it work. And that I just thought was really, yeah, special and great. And so that's probably the one of my treasured holiday memories. I mean, I think there's others, but that kind of embodies the holidays for me.
It reminds me of that saying that if you have more than you need, build a longer table, not a higher fence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, John? Do you have a favorite memory to share?
Oh, okay. You know what it is? And it's, you know, probably 15 or so years ago. And it actually happened for a few years in a row, but there is a Christmas pageant up in Yosemite that my partner was a performer in. And it was in Yosemite at the Iwani Hotel. And a beautiful thing called the Bridge Dinner. And so for the first decade of our relationship, every Christmas we'd be up there. So, but what the memory is, isn't so much the actual performance, but afterward, after the cast, you know, was done, on Christmas, we would all walk to the little chapel of the, that's in Yosemite Valley. And it's always open, the doors are unlocked. And maybe 10 of us would go to the chapel, and like around midnight, and these are professional, you know, performers. I mean, people from San Francisco Opera and other performers. And we'd go into this little chapel, and then they, I mean, I'm not a singer, but they would just sing carols in the tranquility of this cute little chapel with surrounding snow outside. And it's just a really gorgeous memory that I truly cherish that we don't really do anymore because we're not involved with that production.
I never knew why it was that you went to Yosemite every year, but I remember seeing on social media that you went every year, and I always, I in no way begrudge the fact that we fill our house with family and do that whole thing every Christmas, but I always enjoyed the idea that you just sort of went and did that. And I've got another friend who, he has always traveled on Christmas, and so his Christmases have always been in different places. And it's a very different experience than we have. And I think just because it's different, I always looked at it and went, well, that's a really cool thing to do. Just because it's outside of my norm, and I always look at it and go, that's really special to have that kind of tradition.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, I grew up with the traditional, get together with family or extended family every year, and which was fine. And, you know, it's our tradition, so to speak. But those years up in Yosemite, I miss them because Garrett's no longer participating. But, I've done both, and I think I still appreciate the Yosemite getaways, as opposed to the traditional stuff. Getting together with family, friends is always the important part.
So I have to tell you that I was very proud of myself having gotten through a whole podcast without crying. Right up until you started talking about... I have been to that chapel in Yosemite. And picturing it with, you know, filled with people singing Christmas carols at midnight on Christmas.
Snow.
Yeah, it just totally got me. I was so proud of myself for not crying.
Yeah, we're...
It's beautiful. Yeah.
What about you, Cherline? Favorite holiday memory?
So, I have a lot. I have too many to even pick one, but I will talk about one that was just you and I being dumb.
I think our answers might be the same on this one.
And we ordered race car beds for our kids, having misread the dimensions as inches instead of centimeters.
I still don't know what we did.
I don't know. We were high or something.
Whether it was inches or centimeters doesn't really matter. Neither one was going to work.
I think we thought it was centimeters and it was inches, so we thought it was going to work. Yeah. Anyway, we thought we were ordering toddler bed size race car beds, and what we ordered was twin bed size race car beds. So I want you to picture a big giant formed plastic race car bed.
And we have two sons, twins. And
they shared a small bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what we were thinking, but one barely fit.
So we ordered these things and we had them in the garage, and we had them delivered when the kids were at school. And they were in the garage, and the kids weren't allowed in the garage. Yeah, we had a whole plan. The kids weren't allowed in the garage. And the idea was that we would take out their beds on the 23rd, which I think was the last, the 24th.
Before we picked them up from school.
And we would take out their beds. We'd switch their beds. We'd go to my mother's house for Christmas Eve, my mother and stepdad's house. We'd come home. They were young enough that when we came home Christmas Eve, they'd be asleep. They'd go to sleep in what they thought were their old beds, but we'd actually put them in the race car beds, and they'd wake up Christmas morning, and it would be magic that they were in these race car beds.
Now, so, ask what day we figured this out.
So, December 23rd, we finally open these two boxes, and I don't know why we thought the boxes were so large, given that we thought the beds were so small, but we pull out these beds, and we're like, Geraldine, I think we might have a problem. And then, because we're stupid, we didn't believe that they were that big. So we
took them.
We carried this race car through the house and put it in the room and went, is there any way we could make this work? So then we were committed.
Answer, no.
No.
There was not.
There's no way. It would have looked like the freeway at rush hour with these two race car beds. So then we were committed. This was like the big gift. So then we had to go on the 23rd of December, midday, as I recall, and find two...
I believe we had my mom pick the kids up.
Yeah, we had to find two beds, and not only find two beds, but get two beds delivered to our house, because we had a very small car at that time. All on the 23rd, before things closed on the 24th.
And the lovely people at the local Raw Wood furniture store took pity on us after laughing hysterically.
And it actually worked out. And if you're wondering, Raw furniture beds do not sound as cool as race car beds, but we created this whole little reading nook. It was actually very cool. But yes, your memory and my memory, they are the same.
I am unsurprised.
All right, Cherline, going a different way here. Have you ever been kissed under the mistletoe?
I have, but you know what I can say to you? You are the only person who I have ever kissed underneath the mistletoe.
Now, I cheat because I hang mistletoe over our front door.
No, but I'm saying that's not a tradition I ever did.
No
with
one
anyone
else kissed you under the mistletoe. Now I say that. No one else has ever kissed me under the mistletoe either,
right,
frankly.
So
but...
now, on the other hand, we did start dating each other when we were basically infants.
That is not true. We were 20, and we certainly both of us could have been kissed under the mistletoe.
And had been kissed. I just had never been kissed under the mistletoe. Yeah.
So now, over our front door, there's a sign that says, mind the mistletoe. And it's not at exactly the same time that I go on the eggnog hunt, but it's a few weeks after that I start the mistletoe hunt.
That usually starts right before Thanksgiving.
So that there's fresh mistletoe over our door and everybody's warned.
But outside, not inside, so that, you know, dog people can't eat it.
And I will... dog people?
Yeah.
Anyway,
Chief,
I will say
dog people.
That even with the mistletoe over our front door, and even though we have a lot of people come and go from our house, still, Charlene's the only one that's kissed me under the mistletoe. So if you're listening to this, you've all failed. I want my mistletoe kisses.
I am going to make sure that the kids both kiss you under the mistletoe on their way in today. Kenny, have you ever been kissed under the mistletoe?
I have, but not in like a personal setting. I took a date. I took my wife to a Christmas party for the company that I was working for, and there was mistletoe there, so we kissed under the mistletoe.
All right, before we go, it's time for us to do the this or that quiz.
Now, how are we going to do this? Are you going to quiz me, and then I'm going to quiz you? Or are we both going to answer like the question and then we'll both answer? I think we should do that.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't care, so.
Okay.
Alex, candy or cookies?
Cookies always.
Cookies always.
Yep.
Alex, eggnog or fruitcake?
Okay. So personally, I like to dip my fruitcake in my eggnog. I would never make a choice between the two. It's eggnog and fruitcake.
And I am not a huge eggnog fan. I like the one sip of eggnog from the first eggnog container that comes home, and then I'm fruitcake all day.
I don't get it.
I know you don't.
Trees, real or fake?
Yes.
Yeah, there is. So we have both. We have several of both. There's something to
seriously, being... Christmas threw up in our house.
There's something to the smell of a real tree, but we have a real tree that then will grow for a couple years and then get planted in the ground. There's one in the front yard now that's grown 6+ feet tall. And then we have fake ones. And there's something to just not worrying about the lights that you have, although LED lights now, you're a lot safer than
but
you used
to be. But we put our Christmas tree right next to the fireplace. And even though the fireplace is a gas insert, it still puts off quite a bit of heat.
And we leave, so we are big believers in our house that Christmas is the first of the 12 days of Christmas, not the last.
Because it is.
So our tree stays up a long time. And so if you...
When does it stay up until?
It stays up until 12th night, which also happens to be our son's birthday. So... the tree is up for a long time at our house. And so if it's a fake tree, it still looks great and you don't have to worry about it getting dry.
And it used to be that we would have to figure out when we were going to get a tree so that it could stay up until January 5th. And now we can just put up the tree whenever.
Also, I'll say Christmas tree lots close super early now. Like if you're looking for a tree 2 weekends before Christmas,
forget it.
We found out last year we just wanted a little tiny tree.
And that's what we ended up with. It was Charlie. The top off somebody else's tree.
Yeah, we just wanted a little tiny Charlie Brown tree for something last year. And we were out not the weekend right before Christmas, but the weekend before that. And the tree lots were all closed up. They're done. So.
Elf on a Shelf. Cool or creepy?
Creepy.
The best thing about Elf on a Shelf to me is all the bad memes with like chicken bones and ketchup on a plate and Santa saying the elf was delicious.
Yeah, it's super creepy, people. I will say I do enjoy seeing the photos of our friends where they're, yeah, like you said, where they're doing creative stuff with it.
Or creepy stuff.
Because it.
There's been some Elf on a Shelf Barbie memes that have been pretty good.
So... I just like that people are getting into the holiday and they're posing the elf every day. And but otherwise, having a little thing, it's like having a ring cam just randomly in your house that Santa's
that
looking
moves.
At all the time. That's creepy.
But that moves.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like the idea that there's some weird little doll in a red suit that moves around the house when I'm asleep.
And let's take this to an illogical place. If there are elves on the shelf for Christmas, there's other holiday creatures that are just moving around your house when you don't even know it, and that's creepier.
So let's take it one step creepier. If you've
Do we
got
have
an,
to?
Yes. If you've got an elf on a shelf that moves around your house and does stuff while you're asleep at Christmas time, and then you stuff it in a box for 11 months, and then you bring it back out, how is that elf not bitter and pissed and hunting you?
Also, I want you to think, especially if you're an adult, if you're a child, you really shouldn't have been listening to any of this.
You have no business listening to us.
But if you're an adult, think about the things you do in the various rooms of your house. Do you want an elf reporting all that to Santa? I do not think so.
I don't think you do.
All right. Candy cane or chocolate Santa?
Candy cane. I can get chocolate all year round.
Yep. Fair enough. Especially owning a chocolate business.
Well, there's that. Lights. White or color?
Now, see, for me, this is again, both.
This is the real or fake Christmas tree thing.
Both. I really like the simplicity of just white lights. Our house is outlined in just white lights.
And our tree downstairs is just white lights because there's so many colors from the ornaments.
But I like a pop of color. And so...
We have twinkle trees outside.
We have twinkle trees that have color. We have the aforementioned little real tree has multicolored lights. So it's a pop of color.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Cider... Or cocoa?
Yes, but very different things.
Oh, okay.
I want my cocoa with marshmallows and whipped cream, and I don't want any booze in it. Do not put peppermint schnapps in my cocoa. I don't need that.
Do not put peppermint schnapps in anything.
No,
I... Do not put it in your cart when you leave the store.
I have done my share of peppermint schnapps shots, and they're fine. Cider, as a general rule... I want either over ice with cinnamon whiskey or warm with cinnamon whiskey, but I want whiskey in my cider. I do not want booze in my cocoa.
Yeah, I want a thing of cocoa probably every
3 years.
3 years. I need a real, and I need a lot of melted marshmallows in there because that's really what it's about, is the melted marshmallows.
Or the can of whipped cream set between us.
Yeah, but I will have breakfast cider. I will have lunch cider. I will have dinner cider.
Cocktail
I will have
cider.
Dessert cider, cocktail cider. I love apple cider. Fresh apple cider. Yes.
All year, all the time.
All year, all the time. And fortunately, we live right near a place called Apple Hill. There is fresh cider all year, all the time.
That's true. Rudolph? Or Frosty?
I don't know between these two. They're both kind of sad when you think about them.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to go Rudolph because people are making fun of him and he ends up championing the
day. Underdog.
Yeah, I'm going to go Rudolph.
Yeah, I'm going to go...
Because Frosty, they should have seen coming. Like, that's going to melt. You know it's going to melt.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Rudolph.
I'm going to go Rudolph too, but for a different, well, slightly different reason.
Okay.
So Rudolph,
it's possible we're
to me,
overthinking these.
It's possible. Rudolph to me is sort of the ultimate be who you are story. And I don't care who that is. I don't care what you do.
If anyone's hearing snuffling in the background, by the way.
That's Chief.
Our in-house reindeer has just woken up and is making a lot of noise.
Rudolph is... all of the others. He represents all of the others to me. Mm-hmm. I don't care what your otherness is or what it feels like. Rudolph is like, damn it, take that black soot off my nose. My nose is red and it glows and bite me. That's who I am.
Wow, I've never seen that version of the cartoon. Okay. Gene Autry did not sing about that.
But that's who Rudolph is to me. Frosty is a snowman with a magician's hat and aces. He comes to life and he stomps around and then he melts and then he comes back next year because Christmas snow is magic.
And if you've seen the Christmas special, it takes a long time to get from a train, no matter where that story begins, to get on a train and go to the North Pole.
That's true.
Those parents should have noticed those kids were missing.
I agree. Someone should have been looking for Karen.
All right. This is a tough one. This is a controversial question. This is even bigger than is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yes.
Yes, it is. It's a Wonderful Life or Miracle on 34th Street.
So I know I've said yes to several things, but it's yes, but in two different ways. So Miracle on 34th Street to me is all about the magic of Christmas and that Christmas magic exists whether you believe in it or not, and that Christmas magic will find a way to prove itself to you. So that's Miracle on 34th Street to me. And it's also, it kind of encompasses the Scrooge, like poking into your heart and opening it up, and the Grinch. And I may have put way too much thought into Christmas movies.
I think so. I think you're going a little deep. But go ahead, keep going.
But so
I'm curious to see where this train goes.
So that's Miracle on 34th Street to me. It's a Wonderful Life to me is the anti-holiday depression movie. The holidays are hard for so many people, whatever the circumstances that makes it tough for you. And It's a Wonderful Life to me is all about just be present, regardless of how you feel, who you are, what your circumstances are. You are important to people and you are important in the world. And that's It's a Wonderful Life to me.
Okay.
No, I'm not crying. So don't even look at me like that. It was borderline. It was touch and go there for a second.
We were close. We were close, people.
We were close. How about you?
Yeah, it's Miracle on 34th Street for me. We got Thanksgiving. We got Christmas. We got the good outfits, some floats, some Santa Claus. It's all about that.
Now, hang on. Colorized Miracle on 34th Street or black and white?
Well, I don't care if it's colorized, but it does have to be the Natalie Wood
version. Okay, fair enough.
Don't try to pass off any of these remakes on me. Yeah. I'm not interested, especially because the remake then couldn't use Macy's. I don't need any of that. Give me the original one. Yeah, I don't care if it's color. I do like seeing Santa in his red.
Okay.
The balloons there. Yeah, but otherwise I don't care.
Okay.
It's just got to be that version.
Fair enough.
Well, like all good parties, sometimes they have to end, and that brings us to the end of our first Casual Interrogations holiday party.
Thank you all for joining us, and I hope that whatever you celebrate this time of year, be it a holiday, be it having made it through the end of the year, being whatever it is, that you enjoy it and that you have something yummy to eat, something yummy to drink, and someone fabulous to spend it with, even if that someone is you being fabulous.
And thank you to all of our listeners over the last 2 years. It's been a lot of fun, and we look forward to continuing. And remember, if you missed any episodes over the last 2 years, and there are 36, 37?
Something like, I think this makes 37.
They are all available online, so you can go back and hear the ones you missed. If you heard someone's voice today during the party and you kind of want to know more about them, go back and listen. Or if you want to repeat a favorite, go ahead and go back and listen to it. They're a lot of fun.
And thank you to our sponsor, Crack Toffee. Crack Toffee is closed until after the first of the year so that the mom and pop who run it, it's us.
Yeah, it's us. The mom and pop who run Crack Toffee, they also happen to be your podcast hosts.
But we look forward to seeing you after the first of the year. And we thank all of our guests for agreeing to be interrogated.
And we will be back with Casual Interrogations and more new episodes in the spring. If you'd like to be a guest on Casual Interrogations, or you'd like to submit a question to our fish bowl, or if you just want to say hi, go ahead and look for us at casualinterrogations.com. As Cherlene always reminds us, interrogations does have two R's. Or you can look for us on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you all.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, Mahana Kwanzaa.
And probably some others that we're missing.
Yeah, solstice, all the things.
Yeah. All right. And Happy New Year. And as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone. Bye, y'all.